Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
We hope you have a paper and pencil. We're going to be talking about the ways that we can develop mutually meaningful intimacy in our marriages.
Sounds like a great topic.
It's a very important topic.
It's something that we've been developing more and more over the years. You feel that our intimacy is mutually meaningful?
Absolutely. It gets better all the time.
Why am I emphasizing the word mutually?
Because sometimes in marriages it's not mutually meaningful to both people.
That's right.
I think there are many women today who suffer because their husband is more interested in a sexual act than in developing the intimacy that's important to a woman.
That's right. And really, intimacy is important not just to the woman. I found in my own experience that even though it tends to be viewed that way, that the closeness and all the things that happen through the day, it makes it more meaningful for me as well to have that mutually meaningful intimacy. So we're going to be talking about several areas today, because in many marriages, as we have the opportunity to work with many couples, it has degenerated to a sexual act. And that's how many people view intimacy today. And it's partly because of the busyness of the lifestyles that we live in this world today. But I hope as we go through today's program that you'll see that there is mutually meaningful intimacy for the marriage relation.
The sexual act is just one aspect of intimacy. It's the whole intimate relationship is based on learning to be one with each other and developing respect for the other person in the marriage and learning how to be restrained and knowing how to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you or would you forgive me. Mm-hmm. That's all a part of the intimacy that becomes mutually beneficial to both of us.
That's right. When the Bible talks about the two shall become one, when it talks about that oneness, for me, as a man, it's very important that I'm doing everything that I can do through the day, through the experience of marriage, to make that oneness with you what it really can be. That I'm truly reaching out to you, meeting the needs outside of that special relationship mm-hmm. that happens as a culmination of real love and real closeness. That through the day I am meeting your needs, that you can depend on me, that you can lean upon my affections, that you can count on me to be there for you. And when that's happening, when I'm giving you time to communicate, when I'm listening to you, listening with my heart, not just my head, listening to understand, all those things prepare the way for true intimacy.
I know that that has really grown in our relationship, and it has brought such comfort and such security in our marriage, knowing that that's how you really feel. And I sense it all day long. We don't have to necessarily be together to know that that's there. And it really strengthens me in my relationship to you, and it makes me desire to want to be more for you than I am today, or than I was yesterday, today, and tomorrow, to even be more for you than I am today. And one of the things in that intimacy that is very important to me is our communication. You know, there's times that I just like to talk about things, and I like your opinion about things, and you don't always care about what I want to ask you. Like, you know, which pillow do you think looks better on the couch, this one or this one? And it's amazing, those little interactions between us, when you're willing to hear and give your opinion, even though you could care less about it, makes our intimacy more mutually meaningful. And, you know, well, I like that one. Sometimes you say, well, why do you ask me? Because you really have a preference. But sometimes I don't. Or picking the checks, you know, we've picked checks together. What kind of, you know, pattern do we want on those? You know, it's fun. Those little things make a huge difference.
So the message here, there's nothing intimate about picking checks together, right?
There's no.
There's nothing intimate about getting my opinion on what pillow looks better on the couch. Really what you're saying is that in every aspect of the life that you'd like to have an interaction that's mutually meaningful together. So that if that's happening, then it makes what most people focus on is the intimacy more fulfilling, because we're together in every aspect of life. You know, there's a reference in Ephesians 4, in verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness. Right there, that's tough for men, those words, lowliness and meekness, because today, everything in society, and I speak in general terms here, but everything in society tends to push men to a different image. Lowliness and meekness doesn't seem to fit for the society that we live in, and yet, what this is talking about, meekness is in no way aligned with a weakness in man. Meekness is really allowing myself as a man to be sensitive to Christ and thereby to become sensitive to you. The verse goes on and says, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That forbearing, that means that when you're asking me to look at the checks, I could care less about the pattern on the checks. Okay, as long as I can read the writing that needs to go on the checks. But what I'm doing when I enter into that with you is I'm setting aside just how I view things. Mm-hmm. We've learned so much in this intimacy of getting away from the me focus, mm-hmm. which we've talked about in this series a few times in different aspects. Getting away from the me focus and looking at the us focus in every aspect of our marriage.
And when that happens, and I do that and you do that, it leads to the culmination of the intimate response in a marriage, that privilege that God has given a husband and wife to have and to enjoy together. But it all starts early in the day. It starts by respecting each other and being interested in each other. And the more that we have that in our relationship, the more it develops into we just want to spend more time together. And we have a deeper understanding of where each other is coming from. And we have more tolerance for our mistakes in each other.
Yes, because we're really understanding. Our hearts are communicating with each other. And I think that what we want to point out to each one of you, and I hope that this is the experience you're having, I hope that you're not just viewing the act of intimacy in a very isolated compartment. Because if you are, it's not very fulfilling. And I know, especially for a woman, what's the contrast? You know, it's not very fulfilling if this meaningful intimacy isn't being extended into all aspects of the day.
Well, the woman feels used. She feels like she's an object that has to perform a certain act or has to be there at a certain time to meet a sexual drive in her husband that's not any part of her. She has no desire to participate in that, and so she feels victimized in that, mm-hmm. and it's very destructive to a marriage. It destroys love. Pure love doesn't force. It doesn't take advantage of. Pure love gives, and as we give back. We receive, and it becomes mutually a blessing to both.
That's right. So, if that woman feels that way, and I'm thankful that even though we didn't understand this early on. You never felt that to that degree, but as you reached out to me, sometimes we've talked to women that when they start feeling victimized, or as one woman put it to us recently, she was fearful because she felt like she was coming to the close of the day and she knew what her husband was expecting. And she was almost fearful of that experience. What can you do as a wife in that situation other than just withdraw and clam up to reach out to help the husband in that situation to want to participate mutually in that experience?
I think it's for us as women that we have to go beyond how we're feeling at the moment. And we have to recognize maybe it's a weakness in our husband that he has, and to really love him with a godly love, even in the act of intimacy. From that point, encourage the interaction in the day and start giving him positive comments or what she appreciates about him. Or if he flares up and speaks in angry tones, honey, I know that that's really not how you feel in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I love you, and I want you to know that I love you. That kind of response will help to break down the drive in the man just to get his physical needs met, and it will help to soften him to see what a gift God has given him in a wife like that, who's willing to do all she can do for him.
Yes, I think one of the things that's been a blessing in our marriage is the way that you have been willing to understand me and some of my stresses and some of the pressures, because you've said to me many times, it doesn't matter what you're doing in the day, you can be thinking about me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't understand exactly how that works, because I become very focused on what I'm working on, whatever the project is, or, you know, whatever I'm involved in, whether it be counseling or writing a message, or you seem to be able to integrate both. And you've been very sensitive to me to entreat me and to draw me in a positive way, in an encouraging way, so that I can let go of some of the things. And I believe a lot of men out there today, and maybe I could say this for women too, but speaking for men, we have so many pressures that we face in dealing with real life issues. We can be so burdened in so many directions that we come to the end of the day, and it's only then that we switch gears. And I've seen that if I'm willing to make my wife a priority and communicate that to her, it doesn't have to be through big things, and it doesn't have to take large portions of time, that response becomes mutually encouraging to one another. Mm-hmm.
And I think for us as women, we have the opportunity to nurture that in them. We shouldn't condemn them because they don't think about us the way we may think about them. We can do things to encourage that in a positive way and how we respond. Even getting up and having a nice breakfast for them in the morning and taking time to help him with a simple project that he needs to get done, or putting a little note in his lunch if he's going to be gone all day, or leaving a message on his cell phone to say, I'm just thinking about you, honey, and I just want you to know I really love you, and I'm looking forward to you coming home today. It prepares our mind in a positive way for what can take place in the evening hours, and it also gives him the opportunity to know that your heart is a safe place for him. And in spite of his weaknesses, in spite of his central focus or one-point focus, he can receive your love through that in an understanding heart.
So we need to create an environment. We need to work to create an environment. If I don't like some of the things that you're doing, or I don't think you're sensitive to me in some areas, or vice versa, we can do much to create an environment that is mutually meaningful, which will lead to a very mutual experience in that privilege of marriage that often gets focused on alone. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some other ways that we can make our intimacy mutually meaningful. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking about how we can make our intimacy mutually meaningful for each in the marriage. And I want to just go back to something that we talked about a little bit. You know, the pressures, the job pressures, the financial pressures, the daily life we live in, and I don't think anybody will be surprised to hear me say this, is moving faster and faster. And the pressures are increasing. And I think most people, at least the pulse that we get as we talk to people and as we look around us, is just an increase in pressure. Wouldn't you say that's true, honey?
Absolutely.
And I think one of the things that we see happening is, in that kind of situation, that tends to kill love. Not that we intentionally say, well, I don't want to have time for my wife, or it's not that at all. It's that we just find ourselves being robbed of that time that builds love. And so what ends up happening is that the intimacy in marriage either becomes almost non-existent and there's a separation that occurs, or that love that's not being nurtured turns into lust. Lust dominating the intimacy. And this is not fulfilling, really, to either husband or wife.
One of the things that's been helpful to us is to recognize that we have to not fill our day so full that we have no time for each other. And that was not easy for us at the beginning. I mean, we're do-it people. We're goal-oriented, and we're driven. And we have responsibilities. We're raising a family. We have, you know, real challenges and bills that need to be met.
And they're good things.
They're all good things.
It's not like we're taking something that's terrible.
That's right. It's part of life. But we have to put some controls on that. And we began to say, we're going to not fill our day so full. We're going to leave off the evening hours for us as a family.
Yes.
And for us together as a couple. There has to be time every day to build our relationship that's not just built in an act of intimacy at night. And that not filling our day so full has been a tremendous blessing to develop more mutually meaningful intimacy. And I think we need to encourage each of you, it's going to be a choice to carve out that time so that you have time in the day or in the evening, whenever it fits for both of your schedules, to have time together so that when the evening hours come and it's time to go to bed, that you are together in heart and you're together in your love, and it makes it much more enjoyable.
That's right. Much more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Much more meaningful.
That's right.
Mutually meaningful intimacy. You know, there may be some out there who are saying, well, that's great. I like what you're saying, but we're past that point. I don't have any feelings left for my husband or for my wife. You know, you may find yourself in a position that is devastating, and yet you know that separation, divorce is not where God is leading you, and that He wants to rebuild your marriage. You know, there's a verse that's for all of us. But if you're in that situation, let me share this verse with you. It's taken from John 15. This is a command of our Lord. In verse 17, it says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." I like the fact that Jesus is commanding us here. Mm-hmm. He's commanding us to love one another.
I thought that happened spontaneously.
Yeah, and
isn't it?
He's saying, look, if you don't have love right now, it still needs to happen. And obviously, He's giving us the opportunity to fulfill that command. But there's some things that need to happen. And what I want to encourage our viewers with today is you have made commitments to make so many things in your life work. You've made commitments to meet the financial pressures that you face, to pay your bills, to meet your mortgage, to do whatever you need to do in that line. You've made commitments to fund the education of your children, to get them to school on time. You've made commitments to be successful in your work. Maybe you own your own business or you work for someone, but you've made commitments that are almost automatic. The devil hates marriage. He hates that union because, rightly understood and rightly entered into it, it is the union that represents Christ to His people, the union of Christ and His church. And so the devil works hard at it. And I want to encourage you, we want to encourage you today, that you would do something similar to all the other commitments that you have made, and you say, I will not let this go. Not just the act, not just that privilege of marriage, not just the intimacy, but that you will make time, that you will commit time to rebuilding the marriage. If there's no feelings left in you, God can rekindle those feelings, can't He, honey? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He can do it in me. He can do it in you. But I can't do it in you.
That's right.
So I have to cooperate with God to make that choice. And that's what our responsibility is, each one in the marriage, whether a husband or a wife, that it's the choices that I have to make or that you have to make. I can't wait for you so that my feelings come back.
Yes.
I have to work. I have to choose to let God put those feelings in my heart for you and let God change the way I think and the way I feel. And then I can respond to you differently. And then that actually encourages you to develop those feelings for me, that I'm desirous of having.
Yeah, and I've seen that so many times in action in our home. Because when you're thinking in those terms for me, which you often do, and we've learned over the years the blessing of doing that, many times you'll do something very special, very simple, but it's an expression. You know, you may put candles on the table, or you may do some little touches like that, and that gives me a message. And that message is that you're thinking about me. And if I don't happen to be thinking about you, I don't happen to have my focus there, that brings me back to that. And it's like, oh, yes. This is why our lives are so mutually meaningful. Mm-hmm. This is how my wife thinks of me, because I may be completely off in some other world, and that's not wrong, but this brings me back again and gets me thinking about you and wanting to interact with you.
Mm-hmm. That's why you don't mind when I sit on the bed and watch you work, do you?
That's right.
Not that I don't have other things to do myself, but sometimes when I'm busy and your desk and your office where you do all your counseling is downstairs in our bedroom, your desk is there, and so I may be folding laundry or something, then I'll just come in the room and sit down on the bed and just sit there and watch you for a few minutes. And it's not to distract you from work, it's just to spend a little time with you, to be in your presence. And it does my heart good, and I see that it used to bug you, but now you kind of enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah, well, it used to kind of bother me, because I couldn't really understand how can you be so interested in the midst of the heat of the day with all the things going on, interested just to come down and sit on the bed and look at me. That used to really, it's like, how can that be? Because I'm such a one-track person. But some of that has encouraged me over the years to be able to say, Lord, make me sensitive today in the midst of all the things that I need to do, that do need to be done. Mm-hmm. Make me sensitive. And you've been amazed at times at the things that God has, little promptings that he has made me aware of, to come up and just give you a little gentle hug or a little kiss on the cheek or put my arms around you just to encourage you. That has quite an impact, doesn't it?
It has a huge impact, just to be standing at the sink and doing the dishes, and the next thing I know, out of the blue, you come up behind me and put your arms around me and give me a kiss on the neck. It just, it takes all of, 10 or 15 seconds at the most, but it can change the focus, my focus and your focus, toward one another, instead of just getting through the day and doing all the things that we have to get done in a day.
That's right. And I think, what we want you to come away with, as we've talked about this, those are little messages that we give to each other. It's not sentimentalism. It's saying, I care about you. The reason I married you is because there's no one else in the world that I want to be with. There's no one else that I want to spend my life with. So if we can take that and put that in perspective, what are we saying? That person, the only time we're going to have for them is for that special privilege of marriage, and it's just going to be a focus there? No. The message is that I care for you, that I want to meet your needs in every aspect of life. And that's been very powerful. I tell you, we don't know how marriage can continue to get any better. But does it get better?
It does. It just, and sometimes I tell you, I don't know how it can be any better. And sometimes I feel so much love for you, I can't even express it. I have more there than can come out. But it's that heart. That's what mutually meaningful intimacy is, that heart connection.
Yes.
When that is there, our hearts are connected, marriage heart to heart. Then the act of intimacy, that marriage privilege, is meaningful to both of us. And it's what we want to do. We want to express ourselves in that,
yes,
ultimate.
So we want to encourage the people then that if that's not there, if it's not there because you're too busy, if it's not there because you've got too much going on in your life and you haven't been able to nurture love, if it's not there because you've been fighting too much, maybe the reason you're fighting so much is because you haven't made the one that God has put by your side important enough in your life. And God wants to change that. And that can begin to change right now. Right now, on this very day, that can begin to change.
So we need to renew our vows, maybe not verbally, but in our hearts.
Amen.
To renew that love, that romance, that oneness, that closeness with each other.
That's right. And if that seems foreign to you, if you don't feel like doing that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we say is Lord of our lives, Savior of our lives will save us to the uttermost if we'll come to Him. He will give us that if we will pray for it. If you will specifically begin to pray for the things that are not working for you, God will begin to specifically answer those prayers and bring that mutually meaningful intimacy back into all of your marriage, which will culminate in the beautiful union, the physical union of the two becoming one. The two of us need to become one in Christ, don't we, first? Mm-hmm. As we become one in Christ together, then He leads us to that mutually meaningful intimacy of the physical union to one another. Mm-hmm.
So this is really the personal challenge. We may have to lay down the newspaper, shut down the computer, get off the phone, or turn off the TV to have that time.
That's right. You know, it isn't going to necessarily be easy or automatic. We need the Lord to give us the grace to do it.
We do.
So let's go to Him right now. Father in heaven, we thank You for the opportunity to come to You with all of our needs. We need You to make our marriages mutually meaningful in their intimacy. And we thank You that You'll do this for us as we turn our hearts to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we look forward to having you join us next time as we talk about making our marriages heart-to-heart. Heart-to-heart with God first, which will provide the way for us to be heart-to-heart with the One He's given us to stand by our sides. We know the difference He's made in our lives, and we know you want that difference in yours. So join us next time on Marriage Heart to Heart.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.